I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
All right, we're halfway home on a Friday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Ryan Cohen is in today. Padres super fan hanging out with us. He's going to a wedding this weekend. Wanted to wish congratulations to Connor and Kennedy, who are going to be tying the knot. We're all married men. Any words of wisdom for the couple to be? You know, you have to fall in love every day. That's what Hannah and I do. Every day, you have to fall in love every day. I'm so full of S. Got to get through it, man.
Legally obligated to get lucky every night.
Yeah, that's it. Actually,
look forward to that.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
I always say that patience is always a good thing in any relationship, whether it be marital or radio. Patience is always a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Try to stay calm.
Our next guest is getting married here soon, I think.
Yeah. I believe he is. Let's go out and check in with our friend Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports, our weekly segment brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue. Jake, looking good. And yes, he's got his bachelor party beach blowout hat on. So the bachelor party is done. That means the wedding is next.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm 3 weeks out. It's, I guess, 2 weeks out. It's the pennant race. And I'm amped.
When's your wedding? Two weeks. So let me tell you.
September 9th. So I'll be unavailable to hop on this time in a fortnight from now. Just putting it out there.
Well, all right. So this is my question to you, right? Like, you're like the world's biggest baseball fan, and your wife.
September, an interesting choice.
Your bride to be says, and I'm fully thinking that she picked the date because let's be honest, they get to choose everything. And
you wanted it to be done before the playoffs, though.
Was that what it was?
Bingo.
Okay, that makes sense.
You guys are not familiar with this as West Coasters, but it does get cold after the baseball season.
What, a mid-November wedding? Doesn't sound that appealing.
November 17th?
Yeah.
An outdoor wedding in New York?
January 24th was not exactly a date we had circled. And so your options are then limited in the East Coast because another thing we have here you're not unfamiliar with is called humidity. And so doing it in the heat of the summer was also unappealing. God. Very little options for us East Coasters. So, you know, September 8th, getting married and doing the honeymoon in the winter.
Well, that's why you do a destination wedding in San Diego.
That's
right. You don't have to worry about that. Literally, any day of the year.
When did you get married, Woods?
I got married, oh God.
I got married in February.
When did I get married?
It was beautiful. Gorgeous in San Diego in February.
I got married in May, and I remember that because I'm not a monster.
Well, we have two anniversaries.
I know. You celebrate the day you met instead of the day you got married.
I'm not joking when I tell you. Hold on.
Someone in the chat, please tell Woods when he got married.
The one we celebrate is the day we met, 2/4/14. I don't remember our wedding date. Sue me. I really don't. I'm blanking.
I won't sue you for that.
You're a dead man.
I know someone who might.
Oh, I'm dead.
You're dead.
When did I get married?
Someone in the chat must know when Woods got married. Oh. I mean, none of us attended your wedding, so we don't know.
No, it was my wife, and a prison minister, and my mother-in-law. That's it.
Now, the wedding was not in the prison.
When is our anniversary?
You weren't required to use the prison minister. That was a choice.
I'm panicking. I'm not joking when I say this. I am full on panicking. I want to say maybe September 22nd. Yeah, Jake.
All right, well,
you
look that up. Now, let me ask you about a phenomenon that I've almost become inured to it. Aaron Judge, homers every single day.
Every day.
And like, I don't even pay attention to it anymore. I'm just assuming he homered again. And what he's really doing, I mean, put it in context for us, kind of historically the kind of season that he's having, Jake.
Well, let me just quickly talk about the visceral experience of watching Aaron Judge regularly as an East Coast elitist who sits at Yankee Stadium regularly. So, you guys watching any of the Little League World Series? I don't know if you are.
Yeah, but a little
every
bit.
Team seems to have a child who's too big for the field. Correct. If not more, where they make contact with the ball and you're like, that's a pop out. And then they turn the camera and it's over the fence.
Yeah,
that's Aaron Judge, except it's the major leagues. He hit an opposite field home run yesterday that looked like a foul ball. And then it was just 10 rows back. You're right. We have become numb to his greatness. He is having a better season than he did in 2022 when he won the MVP. He's walking more, striking out less. His batting average is higher. He's on pace for basically the same amount of home runs. He is, until Shohei Ohtani picks up a baseball again and throws it hard, the best player in the world.
We actually have a tier one. Luke Ramirez, great guy. 2009, he led Parkview Little League to the World Series. I covered him while he was
Luke.
There. He was obviously a little bit
well.
More mature than some of the other players at that time and was a media sensation and home runs and pitching and everything. Luke's great, and he's been in studio here with us before and love Luke, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
We had Luke on our old podcast.
Oh, nice.
Luke is an OG. I like that guy a bit, a whole lot, but like he was just too big, right? He was too big.
Yeah.
And like that is the phenomenon that we're now watching with Aaron Judge.
It's truly crazy. It's that Bonds-esque run where it's like, oh, you may only get, you know, a pitch to hit a game and you just don't miss it. It's insane to watch. And like Ben said, kind of like watching Manny play defense sometimes. You're like, there's another one. You know what I mean? Like, we take it for granted and I don't think we should. Talking to Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue here on Ben and Woods this morning. My anniversary, by the way, is 9/22. I've just figured that out. So in case anyone, it's right around the corner.
Yes, it's coming up next month.
Well prepared.
Super, super prepared. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, we're obviously just mired, Jake, in the West over here. I want to talk a little bit about the East. I know Ben was just talking about Aaron Judge, your Baltimore Orioles, needing a little help maybe at the back end of the bullpen. They thought that they found it in Sir Anthony. It hasn't gone exactly well. Where's your heartbeat on the Orioles right now?
I am always hesitant to critique front offices for the decisions that they make because they are working with so much more information than we have.
Sure.
Right? Always. However, what the Orioles did at the deadline, I thought was a half measure for a team that needed a full measure. Now, you folks out in San Diego don't even know what a half measure is because your general manager does 1.5 measures all the time.
Two measures.
Too many measures, probably, yeah, in fact.
Probably.
The Orioles going out and getting Sir Anthony Dominguez and Gregory Soto for the bullpen was an upside play, right? Two relievers who have had success in the past with the Phillies, Soto also with the Tigers. The Orioles hoped that with a couple tweaks, they could get them purring again, use them in the back end of the bullpen. That has not been the case. Dominguez was solid, allowed two walk-off home runs this week to the Mets, and I believe Soto's ERA is over 12 right now for the Orioles.
Okay?
What that team needed was not a could, but a will, right? Not someone who could be beneficial, someone who will be helpful. And what is frustrating, someone who covers the Orioles, is to see them spend some prospect capital to go get a guy like Trevor Rogers for the back end of the rotation who has team control instead of going and getting Tanner Scott. Tanner Scott, who is the exact type of piece that would fit into the Orioles bullpen, who has been very good so far for the San Diego Padres, who was once a Baltimore Oriole. And I just don't think the Orioles did enough at the deadline to supplement a very talented roster, and it just feels like something of a missed opportunity.
To be fair, last year the Padres kind of half-measured with Rich Hill and G-Man Choi,
yes,
and it did not work out very well.
It did not, but that turned out to be the right decision, right?
Yeah. Well,
I think
maybe.
In
finished
some
two
ways,
games
I know
out of
really
a playoff
close,
spot.
We're
never, we'll never know if it was the right or the wrong we'll decision. Know.
I think about the Yankees deadline last year where they were like kind of close and you could tell by the way the front office acted was insight into how they felt about their own team. They're basically like, this team that we have right now is not worth supplementing. They're not good enough to win a World Series or to make the playoffs that it's worth making that risk. But Orioles are not that. They're not that right now. Yes, they've been besieged by injuries, but that you guys saw them. I mean, they're a talented group. The hitters are legit. And so I think it's just something of a missed opportunity to not go out and make this team better.
Talking to Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue, brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue. And I want to ask you a philosophical question, Jake, about baseball. And that's the different, you know, an organization, and I'll bring up the Pittsburgh Steelers from football as an example, are always lauded for their patience and consistency, rarely changing coaches. And sometimes you see that in baseball, like the Angels decided they're going to go with Perry Minasian, a two-year extension with no tangible results on the field to do so, but they're going to say, you know, we believe in consistency and giving a guy time over just, you know, hey, it's not working 2 years, fire him, go to the next guy, go to the next guy. Never really works, but then again, it's hard to stick with something that isn't working as well and sell that to your fan base.
Can I say something I don't believe?
Yeah.
Sure. I do it all the time.
What's the difference between the Angels and the Padres besides one exhilarating postseason run? I don't believe that. I just said it. But I'm saying, like,
oh, we've made the comp.
Yeah. AJ Preller has gotten far more chances than other GMs in similar situations.
And to be clear, this team right now is good. AJ's done a good job with this roster. I think AJ's a good GM. But what I'm saying, the point that I'm trying to make here, right, is continuity in and of itself is not necessarily always beneficial, right? I do think that in this case for the Angels, who have had so much organizational turnover under Artie Moreno, who is just a total bad owner, that having some consistency there is really good. And I do think that in some ways having Preller around for so long has been a good thing for the Padres. But I just think for the Angels, I like this move. It doesn't really move the needle for me, though, in any way for them, because as long as Artie Moreno is running the show, Perry Minasian is going to be generally managing with one hand behind his back.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. And it's very fair to say we don't know everything. You know, you look at it in a vacuum and you go, well, that's the GM that had a generational superstar. Not only did he let him get away, which is ownership, but he also kept him and didn't get anything back for him, which, let's be honest, was probably ownership at that point, because Shohei still, you know, would put asses in the seats in Anaheim when he was still there. And but yeah, if you look at it in a vacuum and say, well, that's your claim to fame. You let Shohei Ohtani get away, and you didn't get anything back for him. You know, that's kind of a tough look.
Yeah, it's hard to judge, though. That organization is just so complicated and weird, and all the Ohtani stuff is just operating above the head of a GM.
Yeah,
right. Where I like Perry, I think he's solid. The results have certainly not been there on the field. The Angels, I think, have the 23rd best record in the league during his tenure.
Wow.
Not exactly encouraging. They have not made the playoffs since 2014. There is an exciting young core group of guys.
There is, yeah.
That they have. But exciting is one thing, good is another.
Yep.
Your favorite Joey Votto factoid, story, anything you've encountered in your baseball life, Jake?
My favorite nugget is that his mom is a sommelier.
Really?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Knows her wine,
which,
huh?
Has nothing to do about him. There was some story I was told. I can't remember what it was. But basically, like, I don't want to get this wrong, but I think he admitted to someone that he's like a big Dungeons and Dragons guy on first base. They were just like he made like a Dungeons and Dragons reference, and some player was like, wait, you're DOD too?
He's probably also lying, because he likes to make up stories. He's like a bit master.
This was in the Athletic oral history. It's so funny. We was talking about Stephen Piscotty, and he in the piece, it's like, yeah, I was giving Piscotty crap while he was on first base, and then I asked him why he was an engineer and a flat earther. And then it's like Athletic editor's note. We reached out to Stephen Piscotty, who says he believes the earth is round and was confused what Joey was referring to.
He did it to us. He messed with us,
too. Yeah, he got us 2 years ago.
Yeah, he did. He told us a fake story.
Yeah, we asked him about Brandon Drury, his former teammate who had just been traded to the Padres. Went on and on about Brandon Drury's quirks and habits. And so
he was like, this guy's a lunatic. Yeah. Man, I let him borrow my bat, and he wouldn't give it back or something.
He just
like
went on
that.
This whole story. And then so we're talking about
Drury's like the most normal
he's boring. He's actually boring. Very boring. Yeah. And then we get to the park, and Brandon Drury is like, what, you know, what's going on with these guys? And we come find out, none of what Joey Votto told you was true at all. He made all of that up in his conversation with you. And it's like, oh,
you love a player who loves a bit. But just I'll say this about Votto, and then I'll let you guys go. I guess you'll let me go.
Yeah, we'll let you go.
Yeah, it's your show. Very rarely does a player mean that much to a place. And what I admire the most about Joey Votto is that he left both the Reds organization and baseball in a better place than when he found it, and treated people with kindness and care, and was thoroughly interesting. Every time he opened his mouth, baseball players often don't say many compelling things because they're asked to speak all the time. When Votto opened his mouth, you listened always. And that level of insight is very rare, and I'm thankful that I was around to experience him as a major leaguer and as a public person.
All right, that's it. That's it for us. Jake Mintz will take you the rest of the way until 10 o'clock. Annie and Elston take over. It's good to see everybody. Jake, enjoy.
Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks for letting us go.
Thank you, buddy. Good luck. Have fun at your bachelor party.
I'm the captain
now. We already had the bachelor party. Good luck with the marriage and the wedding. Yeah.
No. August 24th.
Good luck with the marriage.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
I thought it was last. I thought they were all last week when Jake was there. Jordan was there. Oh, that was a different one.
Good luck to you on the marriage, Mr. Forgot My Anniversary.
Appreciate it. I'm used to it. I live in the doghouse. It's fine. Thanks, buddy.
There he goes. Jake Mintz.
See you, Jake.
Cespedes Family Barbecue. And, of course, every week, that segment brought to you by our friends at Granville Barbecue, North Park, Flynn Springs, at the ballpark. You can get some tonight. Woods had brisket last time he was at the park.
Pulled pork.
Oh, yeah, pulled pork.
Yeah.
Just as good.
So good.
Both delicious. I saw, who was it? Maybe Bobby Cressy was posting brisket pictures. Someone was posting brisket pictures from Granville recently. Makes me want to get back out there very quickly.
I'm with you.
I'm hungry.
All right.
We'll take a time out. Paulie's got a Roundel report coming up with headlines. We'll do that before Mike Shildt joins us at the top of the hour with the manager's report. All coming up here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour on Bennett Woods is brought to you by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor. Floor and Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. So the reason Paul Reindel has the title of executive producer is that he's an idea man.
Yes.
And he said, you know, we've told that Brandon Drury, Joey Votto story now twice this week. Since Joey announced his retirement, I have the audio. Would you like to play that for people who might not have been listening two years ago?
We collected one or two new listeners in the last 2 years.
Even though it's not a Throwback Thursday, it is Friday.
Flashback Friday.
Flashback Friday. We're going to go back probably 2 years right around now, would be my guess.
September 23rd.
Yeah, so 2 years and 1 month minus 1 month when we had Joey Votto. Random. It was random, too. Like, Paul just reached out, and Red said, sure, yeah, let's put Joey Votto on in the San Diego radio station.
It was, like, at 9:45, like, right at the end of our show, and I think I reached out. I was like, we weren't playing the Reds, nothing like that.
Nope,
I just said, hey, super random request here, but we're a baseball-centric show in San Diego. He's on our bucket list of interviews, and they're like, yeah, he's in.
It's insane.
And so, yeah, this was September 23rd, and Woods starts by asking him a question about one of his former teammates.
It's been crazy. You know, the trade deadline comes, and one of your former teammates, Brandon Drury, now here, and, you know, hits a grand slam in his first AB. Just incredible. Just been incredible to cover and watch every single game.
No doubt. And, boy, what a weirdo you guys got.
Did we?
Oh, no, now we need to know more about Brandon Drury.
None of this is true.
He's been kind of quiet since he got here.
Quiet. Oh man, he must. So it sounds like he turned the volume up. He went from completely like sucking in noise to like quiet. It's like a black hole with us. it's funny. I'll tell you a story. And so he he occasionally wears his eye patch for like this vision drill, and it helps him. He needs it. And so one day I go, can I wear the eye patch? And so I put the eye patch on, and like he said, you have to do these specific drills and wear it for X amount of time. And that day, I actually have a picture of it, and I'm not going to post or anything like that because I don't think that's a good idea. But
probably doesn't exist.
I ended up homering that day, and so we get done with the game, and I go, hey, dude, you think I can wear that eye patch tomorrow? And he's like, no, you're not allowed to wear it anymore. It's my eye patch.
Oh, my God.
You only get one game.
That's amazing.
And then, he goes, sorry, man, you got to put in your own work around here, homie.
Oh, my God. Right back in your face.
That part was made up. That part was made up. That never happened.
The eye patch existed.
The eye patch.
The rest of that was made up.
And the drills existed. But he never went back and said, can I get that again? And Drury said, no, homie, you have to put in your own work around here.
Yeah, because it was probably within the next week. We were down at Petco Park.
And he got mad.
And he kind of just like walked by and was like, gave us the stink eye.
And we asked Annie Heilbrun, why is he mad at us?
Hey, do you know,
he's pissed.
She was like, yeah, I think he's a little upset about that Joey Votto. We're like, what? He goes, yeah. And he walked back over and he goes, it wasn't true.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, God. I mean, oh, my God.
Also weird. People get upset at us about segments that they don't actually listen to, which is always my favorite. And by the way, Brandon, we didn't tell that story. Joey Votto. You want to be mad at somebody? Go be mad at Joey Votto.
Can't be mad at Joey Votto, though.
Right.
So
he gets mad at us.
Obviously, he gets mad at
obviously
us.
Obviously, our fault.
It's obviously our fault. That happens to us all the time. I heard you guys said something. Well, did you listen? Well, no. Well, then what are you crying about? Go listen to the segment, and then you make your own judgments on it. Good Lord.
People are listening, though. I think the national media is listening to the roundtable yesterday.
Why's that?
Well, remember when I asked the question, what's our draft? What's the Padres' biggest strength?
Yeah.
What was your answer?
I think it was chemistry, you know, chemistry.
Vibe. I said depth. But David Schoenfield in ESPN this morning has come out with the biggest strength of each playoff contender in baseball. And his answer for the San Diego Padres, current playoff odds 95.8%, is hitting for average contact ability, which I think was Craig's answer, during the roundtable yesterday. He said, I was tempted to go with bullpen here, and no doubt A.J. Preller did a terrific job at the deadline in setting up the Padres' bullpen. But he said, let's go with an old-school statistic, batting average. Padres lead the majors with a .265 average while also recording the lowest strikeout rate in the majors, 17.5%. They're ahead of the Royals, Astros, Guardians, and Diamondbacks in that category. Now, here's what caught my eye in this little nugget from David Schoenfield. Of the last seven World Series champions, five of them were top five in lowest strikeout percentage in baseball. Pretty direct correlation to teams that have had success, especially in the postseason, that don't strike out a lot. Now, they're coming off a game. I think they struck out more last night than they have in quite a while facing Luis Severino. Yeah. But the long
credit him with some nasty
long-term trend is that the Padres put the ball in play and make contact. And apparently that seems to be, and I can understand why. You know, in the playoffs, you're facing nasty arms. You see tons of, like, you know, 8-9 strikeout games in the playoffs, big stage. Teams that put the ball in play in the playoffs allow good things to then happen. You know, you put pressure on the defense, pressure in an already pressure-packed situation where mistakes are often magnified in the postseason tenfold, and you're making the other team in a position where they can make more mistakes than you. So that low strikeout rate has directly correlated to a lot of success. The 22 Astros were second in baseball in strikeout rate. The 2020 Dodgers doesn't count, but they were third in baseball. The 2019 Nationals fifth in baseball. The 2018 Red Sox third. And the 27 Astros best in baseball with the lowest strikeout rate. So a potential advantage strength for the pod, hopefully toward the postseason in October.
Yeah, I mean, I like the percentage of our chances to make it. You know, I mean, the fact that there's like the 8% chance you don't. Yeah, it lingers.
I mean,
it's going to linger.
According to this, 4.2% chance that the Padres don't make the playoffs.
Right, 4%. Yeah. Well,
seems like a really low number to get worried about at
let's
this
just,
point.
Maybe let's just not talk about it anymore.
We're all worried. We're all worried about 4%, aren't we?
Yeah.
Extremely worried about 4%.
Of course, we're humans. Of course. We'll be, you won't feel good until it's clinched, you know, and done. And once that day happens, time to celebrate. And then you got to get back down to business again. Try to figure out how to advance, depending on where you're seated and all that mess. So, yeah, man, it's the fact that 4% exists. If you told me, Woodsy, you have a 4% chance of dying today, I'm going to be worried.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to be worried.
I mean,
right?
I guess it's the dramatic consequences of the 4% outweigh the smallness of the 4%.
100%.
Missing the playoffs would be a disaster. 4% chance of a disaster.
You will have to commit me. You're going to take a week off. Holy cow.
Right. I did not jinx back-to-back losses.
Yeah,
I said will lose back-to-back games.
No,
my prediction came true
really
yesterday
did.
That the Padres would, in fact, lose back-to-back games
so
in the second half of the season.
It was.
Everyone was so excited to say, oh, man, you were wrong. I told you they were going to lose. It was eventually going to happen.
Ray, you're right. You're right. He did. With his big new bit.
When I tweeted last week that they hadn't lost back-to-back games.
Yep.
It's the old 8-day later
that's right.
jinx.
And here we go.
Don't think that's how it works.
Look at us
Hope
now.
You're happy.
Yeah, hope you're happy. Back-to-back losses. Finally, as you wanted. And
want to go for three in a row? Would that make you feel better?
Prefer not to, actually.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right, we'll come back. Paulie will get some headlines for us in the Rindle Report, and then Mike Schilt at the top of the hour with the Manager's Report. Lots of reports on this show.
Totally
San Diego's
reports.
Number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Report station.
Did some research during the break. Just wanted to confirm. Do you know who else in Major League Baseball has lost back-to-back games since the All-Star break?
A lot of them.
Maybe. Every single team.
I was like, wait, is this a trick question?
Every single team in baseball. And I think most of them have done it multiple times, if not three or four times at least, lost back-to-back games since the All-Star break. So now the Padres have as well. They've joined a club of 30 teams that have lost back-to-back games since the All-Star break. Now, if that is the sign of impending disaster, then you have 30 teams careening toward the edge of the cliff, and we may have no World Series champion this year.
Ray said, well, we could have been different. Yeah, you're right, Ray. And Ben was assuring us that we were. We hadn't lost back-to-backs
You
yet.
Also, if you want to look at the standings since the All-Star break, you'll still find the Padres right on top. So are they the hottest team in baseball, or are they the colder team in baseball right now?
Yeah, Ben, today I learned Ben jinxed every team.
I did.
So yeah, you are you know, I get a lot of people give me a lot of credit for having a lot of power. You actually have a lot of power.
You know, there's a lot of math involved here because every single day in which you have a full schedule, 15 teams lose.
Right.
Every single day.
Every day.
So then the next day you have 15 teams that are eligible to lose back-to-back games.
That's right.
Before too long, it's going to happen to every single one of them. Every single time. You know, math is undefeated. Major League Baseball.
Oh, it always is.
You just cannot avoid the fact you are going to lose some series. You are going to lose some back-to-back games in a Major League Baseball season. And it happened to the Padres. Now they have to move on from there and try to start a new winning streak today. All right. We will get to some headlines in the Rindle Report right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Ben just got dragged in the chat. This is absolutely incredible. Janine, who will slit your throat with her words. She's done it many, many times. She says, remember when math was defeated last year? Huge run differential with a losing record, 0-12 in extra innings.
You're great, Janine. Yeah, math was kind of defeated last year, which is why I was obsessed with it.
Yes.
It was like the one time math was defeated.
He couldn't wrap his
head. I couldn't wrap my head around
all
it.
All year long.
I'm insane.
My world is built on the fact that math is undefeated. And somehow last year's Padres defeated math.
It was like Goodwill Hunting in here last year with him. It was nuts. It was nuts. She's an assassin.
Oh, man.
She terrifies me to no end. I see her on Twitter.
I don't want to be on the other end of the wrath.
I don't know who Mr. Janine is, but I tip my hat to you, sir, because, whew, man, she will get you, dude. And she just got you real good. Go ahead, Paul.
Suck it, Ben. All right, got a couple of different clips here. Actually, every story is going to have some audio or video to it. So we will start. I have no idea what was happening here. Woodsy, you sent this over the other day. We never got to it. Brian Kelly.
Oh!
Which is all I need to say.
Yeah, this is great.
Brian Kelly, man, what a joke's here. I don't know what's going on here. Of course, Brian Kelly.
He didn't go on vacation to Jamaica or something, did he?
Him on! Oh, no.
Boston native, Brian Kelly. Course, makes
Bebo McGloss, like, just comes back, just getting
Bebo McGloss before Boston.
Right, that's Brian Kelly right there.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, we are so excited.
It's maybe the best audio we've ever found. Maybe.
That's not how you talk, dude.
You don't talk
what are you
that
doing?
Way. You don't.
Hey, y'all.
It's incredible.
I know it's good to try to assimilate with your new culture where you're living, but that's not the way to do it.
Oh. So he had a post-game press conference the other day after practice.
Right.
And I guess the athletic department at LSU they have a sponsor.
Sure. Everybody has sponsors. We do sponsor reads. Don and Mud do, you know, sponsors, and they tell you what they got and everything else. Everybody's got to do it.
I don't know if Brian Kelly got chewed out for not giving the sponsor any love.
I do wonder if that was the case.
If this was petty, then I love it even more.
Right.
This was very Ben and Woods-esque.
Very.
How Brian Kelly started his press conference the other day. Walks up.
Just a shout out to our sponsor, Coke. Smart Water, great Coke product. Minerals, vitamins.
What are vitamins? Great.
That's the Boston coming out.
That killed me.
For you.
Vitamins.
So refreshing, healthy, and Coke provides you all the products that you need, depending on what you like.
Coke.
And I love Smart Water.
Simply the best.
It's just incredible. It's so incredible. The vitamins.
Just oozing with sincerity.
Yeah, just what a read.
Yeah, you like vitamins?
A lot of vim and vigor.
Just
from
a shout out to our sponsor, Coke. Smart Water, great Coke product, minerals, vitamins.
Sales guy at LSU comes to him. Hey, I got some copy points. I need you to make
it your
make
own.
Make it your own.
I need a lot of vim and vigor here.
Make it spooky.
Make it spooky.
Ooh, vitamins.
Vitamins murdered me. Murdered me.
What are vitamins?
What are vitamins? Holy cow.
I don't know
man.
Where that came from, why he did it, but I absolutely loved it.
See, now, if Mike Schilt was listening, he should come in with a sponsor reader, too, for the manager.
It would be incredible. Vitamins.
Hey, y'all, it's me, Mike Schilt. I'm just here at SDCCU. Why, SDCCU, simply the best. All right, next up, we got another audio clip. Now, we have talked about this already once or twice in the last couple of weeks. Sunday on MLB Network, you will see the new documentary, The Professor, I believe it's called, about Greg Maddux. And
I can't wait.
We played the clip of him and Barry Bonds split screen in different locations at different times watching the exact same at-bats and the thought process that went into it from both points of view. It was such good, it was riveting baseball content.
Could watch 10
and,
hours of it. Yeah.
They have released a new clip. It's about a minute long, a trailer here, just getting hyped for Sunday. I cannot wait for this documentary. Here's the latest trailer from that.
We were regular season, and we were winning like 8-0. It was easy game in the 8th inning. And he told me, don't throw anything inside on Bagwell.
On Bagwell.
That's their catcher, Eddie Perez, yep. By the way.
Pull everything outside. And I said, okay. I think it was somebody on. And he wants to go inside. And I go, okay. you know, it's your game. So I went inside, called inside, and Bagwell hit like a 1,000-mile.
Long, oh, boy. Background way back.
Hammered.
Now it's 8-2.
And I was mad, and I was like, what are you doing? And he goes, they got a good team. We got a good team. We're going to play them in the playoff. He's going to wait for that pitch. 3 months later, we're in the playoff. Bases loaded in the seventh. We threw 3 straight changes and struck him out.
You're kidding.
He gave him a home run on purpose.
Yes.
He goes, hey. And I looked at him and said, you remember? 2 months ago? And I said, no, I don't. He was looking for that pitch, the homer that he hit. And I was like, this guy. It's how smart he was.
It's like the greatest thing I've ever.
Said I get an 8-run lead?
Yes.
I'm gonna set him up by giving him a cookie that he's gonna get hit for a home run. But then the next time I face him
in the playoffs,
I know he's gonna have that in his mind, and I'm gonna use that against him in a bigger situation later.
It's the
believable. Like he'll think he might miss and give me that same pitch that he did.
Oh,
he
yeah.
didn't miss. He threw that pitch on purpose to you to hit a home run to set you up later. That's insane.
I'm telling you, man. When I watch stuff like that. And I watched the Bonds clip. I think to myself, I have a son, 2 sons, one really on fire for baseball. I have to teach them this game. I'm not qualified. I would never, ever in a million trillion years with an 8-0 lead think to myself, let me hang one, let me throw one in where he likes it, let him hit one out because I might be able to get him 3 months from now in the playoffs. It just wouldn't even occur to me. That is absolutely
next level
brilliant.
And of course, what is also so amazing is that Greg Maddux, who thinks like that, how to get out all of the best hitters in baseball,
yeah.
4D chess, was completely flummoxed by Tony Gwynn.
Right. Right.
Completely flummoxed, had no idea how to give him out, just to the point of, I'm throwing it down the middle just so I don't have to throw any more pitches to him. He's going to get a hit off me anyway. That's how much Tony Gwynn owned that guy, Greg Maddux.
It's incredible, man. This thing I'm going to watch, and I'm going to watch over and over and over. I don't know if it's like a 5-parter or a 2-hour one deal. That's not enough. I need a
5 p.m. on Sunday night.
I need a full Jordan-esque, like, 10-parter on this guy, man. That is just in.
Logan Gillespie knows he may face the Mets again. Was just setting them up yesterday in the 9th inning. Brilliant. 4D chess.
I don't know if I can go on.
Campusano's like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
He's doing? Don't worry about it, Campy. Don't worry about it. I got this.
Oh, okay.
That is ridiculous. You're ridiculous.
Finally, I got some music news here for you guys. And I had no idea that Motley Crue was still making music. I thought they had hung it up. But one of my favorite bands, they've got a new EP. It's just 3 songs on their EP coming out on October.
They were done making
the EP
music.
Is titled Canceled. And they're kind of hinting at maybe more music to come.
Oh, boy.
They said it was really great getting in the studio and working on some tracks together. What started out as a couple demo ideas turned into this EP produced by Bob Rock. We look forward to getting back into the studio again soon and writing new music as well.
I literally thought they just did a farewell tour.
So there are 3 tracks on the canceled EP, or canceled, Dogs of War, which I think was already released, and their newest single is a cover of the Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right.
Oh, boy.
And that was released earlier, I think actually yesterday. And any high hopes for this?
No.
Jim, Motley Crue,
don't
look
at
it.
Don't look
at it. You got some?
Tommy, 6-5.
Nope.
Already
out. Make some noise.
Oh, God.
Kick it. Well, the music sounds killer. All right, so. Remember all the words to this song?
I never knew all the words to this song. I know the chorus. I never had to fight for my right to party, to be clear.
That's fair.
Never
I
wanted to
I believe
fight.
That about you, actually.
I laid down my arms in that battle long ago.
You did. You did. That's not bad. Better than I thought it would be.
You're okay with it.
It's Vince's voice, man, that just gets me these days. Yeah, somebody said this is like kids' bop, but reversed. Old bop.
Old bop.
Patrick. Thank you, Patrick. That's true. Yeah, still hanging on, Motley Crue.
It's kind of sad.
I mean, they're
I've seen some rough videos. Hey,
they all sound Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee sound fantastic,
yep.
And they look fantastic. Vince Neil looks just as rough
and can't
sounds.
Have your front man.
He don't know. He don't sit down now. He can't sing anymore.
Haggy, haggy, haggy.
He on the bus. He the bus. He yeah.
Kicks out my heart.
It's find that clip. Let's play it for Schulte coming up next.
He likes big it. Motley Crue.
Huge Motley Crue guy.
Brian you, Kelly Brian. Would like you to know that this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If your supply chain demands a flexible workforce, hire with Express Employment Professionals. With contract and full-time workers from Express Employment, you get the staff you need and manage contingent labor costs. Learn more at expresspros.com. That's expresspros.com. We have Mike Schilt coming up here at the top of the hour. What you will not get is any panicking from the skipper of the San Diego Padres. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Right now.
That's a fair assessment.
He remained last night after the game immensely confident in his team's ability to turn things around rather quickly.
Sure.
Said, hey, back-to-back losses, they are going to happen, as we discussed. Mike Schilt is going to be positive, and he is going to be optimistic, and he is going to wonder why the rest of us are even concerned at all about his team, which has played really good baseball since the All-Star break. So
very good baseball.
Keep that in mind as we get ready to welcome him to the program. I do think there are some questions that we'll ask. The move with Matt Waldron certainly is something interesting. I doubt he'll reveal the plan for what they're going to do with the starting rotation, but we'll certainly just ask him about the move and you know what that was all about yesterday, and we'll try to make it a good conversation here with Mike Schilt coming up.
Yeah, no question, man. Always excited to talk to the skipper on a Friday, and as they get ready to take on the Mets tonight. Yeah, I mean, you feel like you want to get back on the he's as the manager. We talked about the dopamine hit of a win. I mean, we need it as fans. I'm sure it's no different for the players and the managers. They just have a better ability to let a bad play go away, to let a bad at-bat, flush the bad at-bat or flush a bad game. And that's what makes them professionals. They have that ability to do it. Don't carry it around. You can't. You got another game today you got to get ready for.
Yeah, and, obviously the last 2 days rough. 35 hits allowed.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of those were Waldron, who's no longer with the team, and Gillespie was probably, was a temporary Band-Aid for a day or so. So, and Cease gave up 9, but quality start.
Yeah, great start.
Wasn't it. Yep. So we'll talk to Mike Schilt when we come back. Our manager's report coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.